I guess I have a confession to make to you. The title is Getting Into the Swing of Things. And getting, I think, isn't that the name of it?
Yes.
Spirit of things.
Spirit.
Getting into the spirit of things. Well, I'll tell you how that came about. I went in and Gloria said, I need the titles for your presentations. And I said, well, I'm just kind of getting into the spirit of things. And she says, that's a good title. And that's the truth. But in thinking about what we might talk about today, I was thinking about being here at Holden and about all the people who give of themselves in such a very unselfish way. And that brought me to thinking about volunteerism and how people just share of themselves so freely and so openly. I'm sure all of you know that except for the director and the business manager, everyone else who is here on staff is a volunteer. And as you know, at mealtimes, people ask you to volunteer to wipe tables or to assist in whatever other ways there might be. And in a way, I guess this is really ministering one to another. The verb minister, according to Webster, is to provide a service that is not menial. That's a very personal, intimate, devoted kind of character that there is to it. And so I was looking around this place at all the volunteers, the mavericks, the waitry, the housekeeping people, the grounds people, the teaching faculty, the cooks, the nurse, everyone who's here. And I was thinking that probably a lot of you people are volunteering many things in your own ways and in your own lives. What are some of the ways you do some volunteering? I need you to raise your hand if you speak, though, so I can see where you are. Yes?
Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels, yes.
Driving.
Once again?
Driving for handicapped people.
Driving, okay.
Typing.
Typing?
Visiting yes. Shut-ins.
I'm sorry.
Visiting shut-ins.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yes, the same thing.
Absolutely. All right. Yes?
Quilting for World Relief.
Yeah.
Quilting for World Relief. Yes.
Choir. Exercise.
Okay.
That's right.
Are there other people up there?
Okay.
I bet you do more volunteering than you think you do. Last night at Vespers, as almost every night, there is a person who stands next to me. And since I don't sing or speak during Vespers, the hymn book was open and I just kind of looked over there and she pointed. That's where we are. That may sound like a small thing, but it's a big thing. How many people have come up to you and said, you're going to get milk over on the serving table? And they say, you want some milk? Mm-hmm. And they'll take your glass and go get it. It sounds like a small thing, doesn't it? But how important is it? What other kinds of little things do you do? Do you take somebody's mail over to the mailbox?
Mm-hmm. Rides to church? Rides to church.
Rides to church? Sure. What else? The point of all this, I mean, I know you do things, and some of you are just, you just don't maybe want to speak up right now. I don't blame you. Huh?
Teaching, Bible study.
Teaching, Bible study, sure. But the thing is, do you know how important you are? Do you know how important those things that you think are so tiny really are? It seems to me that all of you are reaching out really to minister one to another. All of us. I hope I do it too. Reaching out to minister in just so many, many, many ways each day. I think of my mother who bakes up a storm and hands out 3/4 of the cookies to the neighbors or to friends. I think about the lady at Martin Luther Manor, a nursing home in Bloomington, Minnesota. I was visiting there one day and she was pushing a lady in a wheelchair. And the lady had lost her glasses and was sobbing. She says, "I lost my glasses." The volunteer went into her room to look for them and couldn't find them, but came back to the woman and she found them under her lap robe, on her lap. And she handed them to her, she put them on her, she went to the front of the wheelchair, she put her arms around her, she hugged her, and she said, "It's going to be okay." She was very calm about it. I was standing waiting for the elevator and saw all this. And then she went behind the woman to push her into the elevator. They were going downstairs. And as she stood there, she went over. I hope you don't mind if I reach on this time. Okay. She was over there and she was standing, kind of rubbing her back and her shoulders as they went downstairs on the elevator. And we got to the bottom and I had tears coming down my eyes. Do you know how important just the sense of reaching out to people is? Maybe going to get a glass of milk or going to bring coffee back for somebody else doesn't seem important. But you are giving of yourself, which is a very supreme kind of giving. And credit not only goes to those of you who give, to all of us who give, but also to those of us who can give thanks to other people for giving, to express our thanks. "Hey, you know, I really appreciate that you got that milk for me or that you did something else."
I got one I did. I gave a lady, my neighbor, a big zucchini, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I gave it to her son. I said, "Take it home to Ma." She took it home to Ma. You know, 5-10 minutes later, came back, I had a great big loaf of zucchini bread.
That's quick. That's quick. That's wonderful. I guess you're probably saying to yourself, many of you, "I know that I give and I try to give and I do the best I can. But if the truth's really known, I receive more than I give." How many of you have ever thought that? Well, look at all those hands. It's very, very common. But the more we give, somehow, the more we receive in return. And I guess I'm wondering if you have some ways today that you can share how you reach out to people, and what it is that's important to you. What makes you feel good? What kinds of things can people do for you that makes you feel good? Yes.
I have a sister who had a large family and were very poor. Yes. And I would bring her things, you know, and she was always grateful to receive them. But she also wanted to give to me. And that I had to learn how to accept that, because she had the need to give as well as to receive. And I could not, it was hard for me to receive. And I think that's so often with most of us, when somebody gives us something, we, I don't want that. You keep it. And I think that's wrong. We need to be, let that person give.
I can share with you the story of some of my seminary days. It was the day before Easter, and I had literally 13 cents to my name. I mean, period. That's what I had. A bank account, anything. It was 13 cents. And the mail came, and there was an envelope, just a small envelope. And I opened it up, and it was a card with, you know, one of these, a little yellow duck or something, whatever it was. And it said, "Happy Easter." But then typed inside, as I opened it, there was this $30 that dropped out on my lap. And it's in typing, it said, "From some seminary friends who ain't no good at typing." have no idea who sent that to me. And it's hard to receive. It wasn't a year ago that I went to my mailbox again. People know I've been hurting financially. And I opened a letter and received, there was a check for $20 from one of my classmates, as a matter of fact. And she wrote a nice letter, and at the bottom she said, please, how did she put it? Please consider this as a way God touches us both. And so, as hard as it is to receive, and you brought up a very good point, we have to learn to humbly receive just as we give, knowing that in time, as my housemate says, it all comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
But really, we get more than we give. Any other examples? Yes.
I think one thing that really tears my heart out is when I go to nursing homes and see these people come in to visit somebody specifically and just race by all the rest of them. Never a word, never a hand, anything. They aren't going to catch anything. They could give of themselves and just say, God love you, or just take their hand. It is so terrible, and I would hope that in some way people could, I don't know how, but they could do something about it, because those people are just sitting there waiting for someone just to say something to them. Some of them don't get visitors month after month.
You bring up another example, and I'm just sharing stories with you right now, but the neighbor across the street from me, her husband has been in a nursing home for 8 years now, and the man in the room next to him is always screaming when she arrives. And she decided one day that she was just going to stop in and visit with him before she went to see her husband. She goes in, she sits, she holds hands with him. She said, I'm not there 3 minutes. She says, how are you today? I hope you're feeling better. And she'll maybe bring him a tomato or something, or a flower from her garden. And she said, he doesn't scream the whole time she's there. But here's a man who needs and wants attention, and it takes not 3 extra minutes, and the man is satisfied. And is it not that way for many of us? To just reach out in some simple way that we don't even think it counts, and to make such an incredible difference. Each one of you and me, we are all so important in doing what we can. Yes?
A beautiful story in giving that was the experience of mine last winter at the missions in the Philippines. And I just arrived at St. Vincent, a Catholic parish in northern part of the Philippines in the jungle mountains there, Belgian order. And I went with Father Carey. He asked me if he'd go to Mass in one of the distant outlying, very poor barrios. I said, certainly, I would be glad to, with your help in presenting a Bible study, which I did. And went there with a bamboo type to adjust benches for the thatched roof, dirt floor and everything. And after Mass, I noticed this elderly lady get up and leave before the service was entirely over. At first, I thought it was somewhat strange. But shortly after, she come with a kettle on her head there, and after service, she put it down, and here was a kettle of boiled camotes, or sweet potatoes. They weren't very good sweet potatoes, they were very poor ones, but we sat down and peeled the sweet potatoes with our hands. No butter, no salt, no pepper, or anything. We relished them together on the dirt floor of the church. Father Carey, on the way home and back, he said, I was wondering if you would have the sense enough to this, but he said, I should have known that you would, but he said, I thought perhaps you would forget and say, no, thank you. And it's so important to those poor, poor people to give something, no matter what it is. So we hate commodities.
What a good lesson. What a good lesson for all of us. Before we get on to things we can do for others, let's stick just for a few more minutes on what we like other people to do for us. What other kinds of things mean something to you? What just little things mean something to you?
I love to get letters.
You love to get letters. Wonderful.
Yeah, just a telephone call sometime when you're down.
A telephone call. Yes.
This is a little thing, and you probably wouldn't even think of it, but my flower garden is an inspiration for other people around my house and the people that you'll buy.
It means so much to other people, just to see those flowers.
And you probably don't think of it as you're fixing your own flower gardens.
The deer like them too.
What other kinds of things? Anybody up there? I can't see up there very well. What other kinds of things do you like to have people do?
You don't have to give anything. You just give yourself. Did you? If you're standing there and somebody comes in and put a garb around and say, how are you today? That's enough. It really makes you feel good.
Isn't that the truth? Haven't you noticed that here at home? As you sit down at the tables, people just freely welcoming you and talking and introducing themselves. How did you feel?
Good.
Mm-hmm. Important? Mm-hmm. That's good.
What a different place. What a different feeling to come to a place that people are friendly. You know, if you go other places, you don't ever expect people to. Or if you go into a restaurant, say, if somebody said hello to you at another table, you probably, it would be very different. But here, it's everyone just as
well. And your little one brings such joy, brought such joy into my life yesterday as we waved to each other during dinner. It doesn't take much at all. Yes?
I have a friend who called me on the phone and say, would you listen to this poem I've written or this little short thing I've written and critique it for me? And I say, I'd love to, because I really do love to do that. It makes me feel important.
That's right. And the point of our being together today is to know, to have each one of you know how important you are in just the tiny little things of life that you maybe don't even think about or that you take for granted. How incredibly important that reaching out is.
Sharing your animal at a nursing home.
I'm having trouble seeing you, Faith.
Sharing your animal at a nursing home.
Yes, yes. That's incredibly important too. Now, these are, yes.
I think another thing too that has been very meaningful to me is that when people will say, I will remember you in my prayers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very definite. We know now just a few of the things that are important to each one of us. What are some things that we can do for others? What are some things we feel comfortable doing for others that we think they would appreciate? Yes.
A hug.
I write letters for elderly people. I can do business letters on the typewriter or just ordinary letters in handwriting. Really appreciate it, and that's something that we could do much more of.
You bet. You bet. I have an acquaintance here who I think has sent out 100 letters, postcards, in the last 3 weeks. Not that they said much, but they showed that they cared and that they were thinking of some folks. Not that these are the closest people in the world to them, but they were people that needed someone to care about them. Yeah. Was there somebody back here? What are some other ways that we can reach out?
Yes. We can do something as simple as to say hello and smile at people. Because there's nothing more crushing than to see somebody you know and have them pass you by without acknowledging that you're alive.
That's true. It really is.
I found that if you smile at somebody when you come up to a stop sign, it might make somebody's day. But just smile at them. Little baby usually smile back at you.
What are some other ways that we can give of ourselves? Yes.
Sing.
Sing.
Sorry.
You bet.
Listening to others.
Listening to others.
Sing.
Okay.
I heard my sister whistling today and I liked that.
Wonderful, wonderful. Sure, now see, she's embarrassed. Let's see how much that meant. And that was just the little thing that you didn't even know counted. How marvelous, how marvelous. If we can let people know about those tiny, eensy-weensy things and let them feel good about it and we feel good about it.
Hearing those chimes this morning was first morning that I heard of.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah.
Well, I'm a widow and I live alone, and so every Sunday morning when I go to church, I always say to the fellows, hey, I don't get any love during the week, I gotta have some.
There you go.
And I hug them and they hug me back. And you know, I'm trained, they do.
We're having a session this week on the ministry of touch.
Yeah.
And we're gonna spend a whole time on that, a whole session on that. Okay. So we're talking about, and we've shared with each other, things that are important to us and ways that we feel we can give or share to others. It may be flowers from our garden, it may be the smile, it may be any number of things. Somebody pointing to the hymnal for me, or it might be somebody buying us an ice cream cone over at the ice cream parlor over here, down the pike a bit. It can be anything. It doesn't have to cost money. All it is reaching out and caring, touching someone's life, being a part of their lives. And each one of us, I'm sure, could give an example of how people touch our lives in just the most important ways. Yes.
I have a ministry, letter writing ministry for one, but also if I know of a person who has either been divorced or has lost a husband, has no family, that's the one that I seek out and make special visits quite often. Not always staying a long time, but just let them know that I care.
How many of you come from small communities? Some of you. How many of you have a local ma and pa restaurant in your neighborhood? Some of you. Okay. I don't know how often it's been that I've gone to the, what happens to be the drugstore, but the little place near my home, and there's always this lone man sitting on the end stool down at the end of the counter. Always. And he's sitting there, in some ways, I must tell you, he's rather obnoxious. And it's very hard to go up to him and say, you know, how are you doing today, whatever. And yet I know that sometimes when I do that, he all of a sudden becomes very, very, not only tolerable, but very pleasant. And so it's my problem rather than his. But if we could say hello to that person who is always, you know, sort of on the outskirts. Or how many people are there in your church who may be visitors or they may not be, but they're kind of different and they're kind of standing alone out in the narthex after church. And all of us have our favorite folks, our special people that we give hugs to or say hello to or visit with. But there's always that one or those two lonely people kind of off someplace. And if we could go over to them and to just greet them in some friendly way or share a kind word or even listen. how important that is. Yes.
I was just on a tour on a boat, and one of the young men that worked on the boat had such a sour face. He was glum all the time, and I walked up to him, smile, And so he smiled that time, and I walked by him again, and he was glum. And before I left, I had him laughing.
Yes, definitely. Some others of you must have some examples, yeah.
I heard a man after breakfast this morning taking a cup of coffee to his wife. Heard him telling somebody.
Yes.
And I thought, what a nice thing.
How thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
What a nice gesture.
See, to bake something for these people that don't do any baking for themselves.
Sure. How about even taking a walk with someone that may not be your best friend? But just, walk down the pike and look at the creek or do whatever you want to do. But just giving of yourself in just a simple, simple way. Each of you is important.
I got a girlfriend, she told me a long time ago that she comes up to a stop sign, she looks around to see who she can pray for.
This has all been on a one-to-one or an individual situation, but do you know about a place where the whole, it is a town or a city, and it's all run on volunteer help. The governing part of it, the cleaning the streets. Well, whatever. It's all volunteer.
Yeah.
And it's truly wonderful. Perhaps you've heard about the pom-pom girls and the prides that President Reagan has honored, had them come to Washington and because of their volunteering. It's truly a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yes.
We have a program in Spokane that probably is in other larger cities called hospice. It's where people work on a one-to-one basis with someone with terminal cancer. It's a volunteer. There are other services that are involved, but the volunteer gets acquainted with the person, visits them. They feel free to call them in the middle of the night or whatever if they have a need, and they just stay with them to help them through this terminal period, which may be 6 months or even a year. But that's quite a good program.
Oh, that's a beautiful program. We've made use of that. As well as interfaith.
I'm sorry?
As well as interfaith. Well, that isn't entirely because they do give donations. There is a lot of expense to have a van to carry the person in a wheelchair and a nurse that's present. Mm-hmm. But the Catholic Church built onto their fellowship hall and gave it to the interfaith group for their meetings. The meal is served. They come and pick them up at 9 and back at 3. That's wonderful, and this hospice is another wonderful thing. They come into your home.
One thing that our church has been doing because of the amount of people who are going without food, in the last few years especially, that we're, having food drives a little bit more frequently than we had in the past and trying to get it distributed to people, but just trying to keep it in the community, but trying to deal with the people that are closest to us, make sure that they're not hungry. So that's volunteer. In our congregation at St. Paul Reformation Church in St. Paul, some of you have heard me tell about this, we have what we call a senior telecare project. And it's seniors reaching out to each other. Mm-hmm. Between 8 and 10 in the morning, each person who chooses to do this is assigned to call one or two people. And just to say, good morning, Emma, I'm thinking about you, and what are you, if you got planned for the day, and if you need anything, I'm here. bye-bye, or whatever they want to say. But to let them know that someone cares, that someone is there, and that there is someone they can depend on. And my visits with seniors from our congregation, many of them living alone, most of them living alone, they said, you know, I can go 3, 4, sometimes 5 days without ever having received a phone call, without ever having seen someone outside my apartment or my room or whatever. And being able to reach out, to have somebody contact them. I'll just share one story. I was visiting a man from the congregation. He's, I don't know how old he is, 80 plus, someplace in there. And I had made arrangements to go, and I arrived and was sitting in his sitting room there. And he kept looking at his watch, and I thought, the first couple times I thought, well, maybe there's something going on here. He kept looking at his watch and fidgeting and fussing, and I thought, I wonder if I'm here on the wrong day. And he kept fidgeting some more, and finally I said, excuse me, but am I interrupting something, or do you have other plans, or what is, he says, no, he says, my phone call's coming within 30 seconds now, and he says, I can hardly wait. He says, this is the high point of every day. And within, the phone call came from his senior telecare partner. And for him, it was the high point of the day. He doesn't know this person. He has never met them face to face. But he said, it's my best friend. And what we can do just by reaching out.
Along that line is something we started in our church of people living alone to make sure that they're up and around and okay. We have a calling chain where they start through and one person calls another and so forth. If the person doesn't respond, then they have someone else to call to go check and see what happens. It came about with a lady who fell and broke her hip down in the basement and laid there from Monday afternoon until Tuesday afternoon, unable to get up and get to the phone. And so we started that kind of thing, and they enjoy visiting with one another, but also it makes sure that they're up and around and able to do something.
Yeah, that's part of our program too. Yes.
I'd like to share a true story from Comac, Long Island. Jerry Eason was a converted Jew. And his program was to go around to help congregations to approach Jewish people. He had a special burden on his heart for a couple, Jewish couple. Rap on the door, the Jewish lady would come to the door and let him in. The Jewish husband would begin to swear and cuss in Yiddish. Didn't want him in there. But he insisted on calling on this couple in Brooklyn. One day, the Jewish husband was very irritated. He walks up to Jerry Eason. Suppose Jesus was here now and I could spit in his face, what would you do? Jerry looked at him, said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go right up to you, put my arms around you and tell you I loved you. The man broke down, cried like a baby. He said, from now on, you'll always be welcome into our home. Jerry Eason cared about people, and when he was at the seminary, 7 men decided to go into mission work because of Jerry.
Thank you for sharing. We've only been here about 20 minutes. But what have you heard?
Sharing.
Everyone has something to give.
You've heard about sharing? I need to see hands. I'm not following very well.
Everyone has something to give.
Everyone. Every single one of us has something to give. What else? Yes, thank you.
The love flows both ways.
I'm sorry.
The love flows both ways.
Love flows both ways. Indeed it does. Indeed it does. How freely.
What else? Yes.
Everyone needs something.
Oh, amen. How true that is. How true that is. We all have needs. Every single one of us. We have them up here as well as at home. We can feel lonely up here as well as at home. We can feel lonely in a crowd as well as when we're sitting alone in our rooms or on a hike or whatever. And to be able to reach out, to give, to share, or to receive makes so much difference. Makes so much difference. God is with us, that we know. But it doesn't hurt to have some human caring at the same time. In fact, it helps a whole, whole lot. If there's one thing that you remember today, please, please remember how important each one of you is. You are important. And you can and do make a difference. As you reach out, just in such very simple and such loving ways, ways that you don't even think are important, things that you just take for granted. And if you remember how much you appreciate the little tiny things, what other people consider little and tiny, that they do for you, I think it helps us to be more sensitive to the needs of others and to be able to reach out in a way that is meaningful and indeed worthwhile. God has showered each of us with love. And if we can even reach out in some small way, one to another, and make other people's lives happier or more meaningful or more complete, there's going to be a big, big difference. Other comments, suggestions, additions?
I know of a lady in Lodi who has, I think for 30 years, has gone to a boys' detention home and taught Sunday school every Sunday, and she has to drive at least 40 miles, and they just honored her for doing that, and every Sunday she would go and do that, every Sunday, and the boys just love her.
How many of you in your own mind right now can think of at least one way that you can reach out to somebody else, even while you're here? Let's just think of while we're here, right? How many of you can think of one way you can reach out to other people while you're here to make a little difference? Let's see some hands. How many of you can think of a way you can do that? I see just about three hands. Okay, I see about five hands. We haven't done very well at that. Yes, it's been quiet. All right, let's try again. How many of us can think of a way in which we can reach out to other people while we're here? All right. You make me feel good, at least. How about when you get home? How many of you can think of ways to reach out when you get home? Wonderful. Are any of those ways different ways than you've reached out in the past? Do you have any new ideas? Yeah.
Mine is, the idea that I have is to get on the phone and talk to some people, because I'm not one to do that. But I keep volunteering for phone committees. But that's something that I have to do. Then once I volunteer, but I can think of some people that I could call and it may make a difference to them.
Sure. I think of someone in our congregation who picks up the neighbor going to the Catholic church down the street and drops them off at their church on her way to the Lutheran church and picks them up on her way home. I mean, why not? Or taking somebody to the grocery store with whom you go. Why not? They may not have a car. Or walking the neighbor's dog when they're not feeling well. Why not? I can share with you, that reminds me of the story when I worked with, again, some volunteers at a nursing home in the cities. There was a young Down syndrome woman who was there as a volunteer to serve the seniors. And her job was twofold. They had a big German shepherd in the nursing home, and her job was to take the dog for a walk around the facility. She had to go around twice, and she did it three times a day. And that was her job. Her other job was on weekends to make sure the dog was fed morning and night. And I spoke at an appreciation banquet for all the volunteers of this facility. She was sitting in the front row, and I said, "Do you people know how important you are?" And she sat and she nodded, "Yes." And I said, "Do you know how proud we all are of you? And how happy we are that you have shared of yourselves in this way?" She nodded. And everybody was noticing her at this point because she was showing how she felt, and she was so thrilled. And I thought, if only the rest of us could just get an ounce of that within ourselves. The appreciation not only for what others do, but for what we are gifted to do for others as well. Unless you have anything else, this is it. I just hope you know how important you are and how much difference you really can make in the lives of others. Thanks for coming.